Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members. On RTE Radio 1.
I'm brushing the top of my crab with agave nectar, which is basically like a vegan version of honey.
Never did one simple line end up causing such confusion and such disagreement. That was the voice of 19-year-old Freya Cox, who became the first ever vegan to compete in the Great British Bake Off. And her vegan baking style and use of alternative ingredients captured people's attention and sparked conversations about plant-based diets and what they're all about, particularly around the use of honey. So joining us to talk more about this are Colette O'Connell, PRO of the Irish Beekeepers Association, and James O'Donovan, co-editor of Vegan Sustainability magazine. Very good morning to both of you. James, can I start with you first? How is honey not vegan? The bees don't die after all, do they?
Well, ethical veganism is a philosophical belief system based on the understanding that animals are sentient and so we shouldn't hurt or harm them. So it's about not interfering with the life cycles of other species. And so ethical vegans don't use any products that come from animals. They don't use leather, they don't eat meat or fish or other products. So it also includes vegans don't eat honey.
But doesn't beekeeping actually sustain bees during the course of the winter by feeding them at a time that they're dying off? If anything, it's nurturing them.
In Ireland, there's 98 different species of bees. So we have the familiar honeybee, and then there's 97 wild species. And a third of our 97 wild bees are threatened. And so managing hives does nothing to protect our wild pollinators. So the honeybee is not endangered. So it's kind of like farming chickens to save wild birds. And keeping honeybees may be detrimental to our wild pollinators, because each bee hive has about 50,000 bees. So if somebody has 10 hives, that's 500,000 bees in a particular area. So there may be some, they may be outcompeting our wild pollinators, who are the ones that need protection.
So Colette O'Connell, do you think that that's the case, that honeybees are actually introducing extra competition for food for our native solitary bee bees?
Not at all, Philip. Good morning to you. The Irish Beekeepers Association and our members have central to our ethos the support of the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan. Anything that promotes our native pollinating insects promotes our honeybees. We very much want to protect the environment for our bees and for native pollinating insects. And I can just even just throw out the fact that last year during COVID and lockdown, our members planted 4,000 plus native pollinator bee-friendly trees thanks to the help of Quilta, and we did this during lockdown. We very much want to promote the environment and keep it good for all species, including our native.
Okay, but without that planting, without that creation of extra sources of pollen, would it be the case that honeybees would be competing for food with solitary bees?
Not necessarily, because if you look at the different species of bees there, they have different requirements. And bumblebees will work plants that honeybees can't because of the difference in length of their proboscis, which is a straw-like body part that they use to suck up nectar. So different times of the year, you'll have different plants worked. And our hedge grows are a multi-source of food for all pollinators, insects and wildlife.
And how do you feel about the suggestion coming from veganism that you are exploiting these animals?
Well, can I say in Ireland, there isn't industrial beekeeping. We have commercial beekeepers who do beekeeping on a full-time basis. But in Ireland, like we love our bees. We have to mind them. There in the 90s, we had a parasitic mite come into Ireland. And if it wasn't for beekeepers, we wouldn't have any honeybees in Ireland. Varroa destructa. It's a parasitic mite that lives on the honeybee and other pollinating insects. And we actually managed to bring our bees through. And now we're finding that honeybees are rewilding the environment as I speak. Mm-hmm. So, look, I mean, as I said, we're far... all pollinating insects, we realise the importance of them, and like we don't abuse bees. We need them for the produce they give. And if you look at the properties of honey, and what's recently been researched and found, it's a super wonder food, and it ranks equal, if not better, to the.
Okay, we'll get into its properties in one second. But just let me put this point back to James. James, I respect and I understand that veganism is a set of beliefs to which you subscribe. But on a pragmatic level, listening to what Colette has to say there, it must be hard to find a real ethical difficulty with what the Irish beekeepers are doing to bees.
Well, the main causes for the extinction of Ireland's wild bee species is our agricultural system. You know, it's conversion of native ecosystems into monocultures. So if there's just one species of grass, very little flowers, then there isn't enough food or different niches for all the different bee species. And pesticides are a huge issue. So vegans also promote an organic food system where we're not using pesticides. You know, Irish farmers use about 3 million kilograms of active ingredients of pesticides on the land, and that's detrimental to all pollinators. So beekeepers, they're also very much, you know, tend to be for reintroducing native flora, native ecosystems, and moving away from monocultures. So we very much would be supporting all of those ideas.
So you could support the beekeepers without actually consuming their products because you'd still feel that's unethical?
We wouldn't consume the product because we feel it's unethical. You know, but there are different things that are of major impact. You know, for example, fishing, for example, is, you know, that kills hundreds of billions of animals every year. So that's a way more detrimental industry than beekeeping.
And am I right in thinking that if you do subscribe to veganism, that eating beef is on exactly the same par as consuming honey? There is no hierarchy here.
Veganism is a belief system, so it's not a uniform belief.
And you can be a la carte about it, pick and choose as you want. Oh, James's line seems to have gone down. James, are you hearing me? No, he's not. Colette, are you still there?
I'm still here, Philip.
Can I talk to you about some of the samples of honey that I have in front of me? Because
you got them.
I did, and I've been dipping my finger into them all morning long to make sure that nobody else on the Clare Byrne show thinks about taking them home. Because what you've done is you've sent us samples of honey gathered at different times of the year, and they really are entirely different products, aren't
they? That's correct. One of our members in Leinster, who's very, very shy, kindly posted them up to the team there. And yes, as I said, bees work different crops or different flora at different times of the year. So like in early spring, you've got the dandelion, which we're the reason why we're told not to mow our lawns. You've got the willow tree. And depending on what plant they work, you will actually get different honey.
Yeah, you do. I have it's a very thick, pale-coloured honey, the ivy honey, which is presumably a little bit more seasonal this time of year, and it has it has quite a fruity but also sharp taste.
Strong, very strong taste. And at the moment, actually, I was walking past checking my hives there recently. You can actually smell the ivy flow from the hedgerows.
Because it has a smell of, and I'm going to use the C word here, it has a smell and a taste of Christmas to it, ivy honey.
It does, yeah. And then it's the last,
I have
it's
a
the
jar.
Last source of... Yes,
go on, Odo, go on.
No, it's the last source of... food for the bees as they head into the winter, unless they're living in urban areas and stuff. So yeah, at the moment they're ploughing it into the hives, and it'll sustain them coming up over the down period.
Okay, well that was my next question then, because I also have a little jar of Wicklow heather honey, which is almost quite woody in the taste that it leaves. And again, it looks very, very different. It's a much more golden colour to it. Do they only work the heather in spring? I would have thought that there was flower on that they're able to work all year round, no?
No, heather is actually quite difficult, honey, to work with. So only strong colonies will work it in the autumn, and it's weather dependent. So like for the amount of time that's there, you won't get a huge crop, but it has really, really, the Irish third level institutions are researching our Irish honey at the moment, and heather honey has been shown to have the same number, if not more, phenols in them, in it as Manuka honey. So it's quite exciting.
Okay.
Yeah, ivy honey is actually being studied as well, and it's the research I've seen has recommended further studies from the point of view of wound healing. But yeah, Irish local honey produced by Irish honeybees by your local beekeeper is by far superior to a lot of that which is imported and bought on large supermarket shelves.
James, good news for the vegans in that bees, and obviously not in this country because we don't produce almonds here, but bees do, and honeybees do, pollinate almonds, don't they?
Honeybees pollinate almonds. You know, about a third of the food that we eat is dependent on pollinators. Some species, like tomatoes, need bumblebees, you know, specifically. And so there's all the pollinators are needed. Some of the wild pollinators, some of the solitary bees, are much more effective pollinators than honeybees for some species. Like I was just reading something about apple trees being pollinated very effectively. But of course, I know in the U.S., because they have a huge monoculture of almonds in one area, they truck in about a third of all of their hives in the country to pollinate that. And then as soon as the pollination period is finished, they have to truck them all out. So because the agricultural system has moved towards monocultures and has moved towards pesticides, then in the U.S. you have this colony collapse disorder where they lose about a third of their hives every winter, which is extraordinary situation to be in.
I wonder what almond honey tastes like, Colette. Have you any idea?
No. I've tended to kind of keep to
Irish
honey. Yeah, I have had tastes of South African when beekeepers have been away and brought back some, but I tend to stick with my own and, you know,
licking
my fingers when I'm working the bees.
The pièce de résistance of the ones that you sent me is hawthorn honey, which is just absolutely delicious. But one final question to you. How much of the honey that we see in our shelves is actually Irish honey, and how much is honey from China or honey from other countries?
What I recommend people do next time they're looking for a jar of honey, in the supermarket, pick it up and look at the label. And if it says a blend of EU and non-EU countries or honey from non-EU countries, it's not.
Move on.
It could be 5% Irish honey. It might, you know, have no Irish honey in it. What we advocate is that people go to their local beekeeper. Any honey produced on the island of Ireland is considered local honey. It has huge benefits. Anecdotal evidence is that it can help people with hay fever because of the minute quantities of pollen that's in the honey. And like, there's a whole, you know, you're supporting an industry that's been there for thousands of years. And just to let your listeners know that honey has been found in the Egyptian tombs, and after thousands of years it's been tested and shown that it's still edible because of its antibacterial.
No way.
Yes. So
really?
That's very common. That's very common knowledge, Philip.
It's really funny, isn't it? Because we used to think that this wasn't it the case that as soon as one of those tombs was opened up, the risk of any strange bacteria from 3,000 years ago emerging was one that would make some archaeologists incredibly ill. All right, we're going to leave that there. I'm running out of time. Colette O'Connell, PRO of the Irish Beekeeper Association, and James O'Donovan, co-editor of Vegan Sustainability Magazine. Thank you both very much.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.